Okay, so from today's passage, you may or may not have noticed that one of the things that Paul does is he has this conversion experience, but then he disappears off into Arabia. He goes off into the wilderness, the desert, for something up to 3 years to try and get his head straight. And we are continuing with our series where we are looking at some of the wilderness experiences that some of the people of the Bible go through. The idea is that we are in Lent. We are looking forward to Easter, but as we look forward to Easter and everything that Jesus did for us, we're also remembering that in the approach to Easter, he himself spent time in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And so we're reminded of the discipline that comes with Lent, maybe discipline through Bible reading or prayer. But as we do these things, it changes us. And we're going to be thinking particularly about the way that the wilderness experience changed the Apostle Paul. But before we even get there, at the end of the 3rd century after Jesus' resurrection, a guy called Antony became one of the desert fathers. He disappeared off from civil society and he disappeared off into the desert, into the wilderness. And do you know why he did it? The reason he disappeared off from society into the desert to become one of the desert fathers was because that at the time, Christianity was no longer being persecuted. And so he thought it was all far too easy. And so he disappeared off to actually have an experience of Christian faith when times are tough in the wilderness. And he became a completely changed person. It's said that when he prayed, the sick were healed. It's said that he spoke as if he was speaking with God directly. And that's just an ordinary person like you and I. He became known as a desert father because of the way that the wilderness experience completely changed him. And so as we go through today, my hope is that we ourselves will not be afraid of the wilderness experience. Christians experience times when God seems distant, when life seems tough, and we go through difficult things. And the experience that we're going to be picking up on today is how we don't need to be afraid of it, because God can do amazing things in us through hardship. So with this passage today in mind, in the Bible, just after Jesus' death and resurrection, there is this man who really hates the Christians. He was the perfect model of a Jewish teacher. From Philippians chapter 2, we know that he was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. We learn that he had also studied under a famous tutor, Gamaliel. And he would say he was, in Acts 22, thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. And from today's passage, he says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age. It was his whole identity. His whole identity was wrapped up in the idea that Judaism was the true religion. That people talking about Jesus appearing to them after he had been resurrected could only have been nonsense because Judaism was the true religion. He couldn't possibly imagine a world where these people who are talking about a resurrected Jesus could be right. The Judaism that he followed, he believed in it. He lived it personally. Everything about his life was wrapped up in it. He taught it. He zealously suppressed and persecuted the Christians who he saw as abandoning what his own very hardline Jewish faith. He even obtained papers to allow him to export his hatred from Jerusalem to Damascus. As far as he was concerned, he was in the right, and anyone who disagreed with him needed violent re-education. which might have gone further than that. He was not a nice kind of guy. He was full of hatred for those who disagreed with him. He was absolutely 100% convinced that these Christians not only were mistaken, but were dangerous because they were leading people astray. But we know what happened next. He was heading towards Damascus to carry out his evil plans. And on the road to Damascus, as we all know, the Pharisee who was Saul met with the risen Jesus. Imagine what that did to him. Absolutely shattered his worldview. His worldview relied on the fact that Jesus was dead and buried in the tomb, never to be seen again. His worldview was shattered. Almost overnight, almost, he became the Apostle Paul. His head must have been absolutely exploding. Can you imagine it? Your whole worldview, your whole identity bound up in one thing. And then you meet Jesus. And you can't just unmeet Jesus. This is a long time after he is supposedly dead and buried in the tomb. His whole identity, his whole understanding of the world has been ripped out from underneath him. Just imagine what that does to people. He needed to unlearn and relearn everything that he thought was true. Can you imagine going through that? Can you imagine going through a process of everything that you think is right and true, you suddenly realize is wrong, and you need to head in a different direction? Extraordinarily difficult. Extraordinarily difficult. But of course, he was Saul, the persecutor of the church. He couldn't just go and join an Alpha course to help him learn about this new faith. He couldn't join a Bible study or a church. He couldn't go to a Bible college or a seminary. Because all of the other Christians were absolutely petrified of him. Even when he was blinded from his experience of meeting Jesus, it took a vision from God before someone called Ananias, who did question the vision. Really, Lord, is this what you're sending me to do? But before Ananias went to him and prayed for him, the Christians were terrified of him because of who he was. So what does he do? Well, he does what anyone who needs to get their head straight does, doesn't he? He goes on retreat. Except it was maybe a little bit more than that. He disappeared off into Arabia, into the desert, into the wilderness. And it may be for as long as 3 years, anything up to that kind of time, because then he was also in Damascus. But he needed that time to get his head straight. His whole worldview had been completely exploded. So there he is in the wilderness, learning about a new faith. Only then, later in verse 18 from today's passage, could he go up to Jerusalem and meet Cephas, who is, of course, Peter. It's the other name for Peter. So he then, after these 3 years, goes up to Jerusalem to meet with Peter. The desert experience had completely changed him. The gospel he preaches in verse 11, he says, is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He's had 3 desert get your head straight years to unlearn everything he thought was true and relearn everything that he now knew was the truth. Those years in the desert were a time of learning for him. A time of complete deconstruction and rebuilding. And so as we think about what the desert does to people, what the wilderness, what hard times do to people, with this passage in mind, I've got 3 particular conclusions that I want us to be thinking about. They're very, very, very practical conclusions, really, if you think about it. The first conclusion is that actually we should never write anyone off. We should never look around about us and say, oh, look at them, they will never become a Christian. Because here in front of us, we've got the example, above any example, of somebody who everyone looked at and thought, he will never become a Christian. But of course he does, because he meets with Jesus. And that's the point, isn't it? It's the meeting with Jesus that changes everything. So we should never write anyone off. We should never write off the hardened, God-hating, secular atheists. Because their worldview relies on the fact that Jesus is dead and buried in the tomb. But what will happen when they meet him? Of course, they have to unlearn everything and relearn everything. So we should never write them off. We should never write off the zealous Muslim who spends every Friday in the mosque. Because, of course, they can meet with Jesus. And plenty have, plenty do. And their lives are transformed. We should never write off, we know what our society is like, we should not write off the sort of very, very ultra-woke inclusion of every idea, all paths lead to God, nothing stands for anything kind of people. Because actually, they can meet with God and realise that there is a particular way. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, not a truth. And of course, they can then have their whole world turned on its head. It's a very hard thing. It's a very hard thing. It's the kind of thing that God can do. We're not very good at it. But God is exceptionally good at it and has a very long track record of turning people's lives around. So first conclusion, we never write anyone off. The second conclusion is that the desert changes people. The wilderness changes people. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. Many of us here know all about that. We encounter Jesus through his word, through his spirit, through experiences in our life, through seeing the faith of other people. We encounter Jesus and our whole world becomes, this is real. And then sometimes we go through those kind of desert experiences where life is tough. God seems distant. It's hard going. But because it is hard going, if our response is to say, therefore I will go deeper in my faith, to seek God in the tough times, and we find that we become changed. If our faith stands the desert times, then our faith stands anything, doesn't it? The desert changes people. Time alone, going away, whatever it happens to be. As we go deeper with our faith, because we know we need to, like the Apostle Paul, he knew he needed to actually take a complete new look at everything that he believed. And it changed him. He went from being the ultimate God-hater to the ultimate God-lover. The one who was seeking to completely destroy the church, to the one who did more than anyone else in human history to build the church through the many missionary journeys he went on, taking the good news all around the known world. So two conclusions there. Never write anyone off and recognize that the desert changes people. We shouldn't be afraid of our own desert experiences. God can use those experiences of hardship to bring us closer and deepen our faith. And then the third conclusion is that actually, we should be praying for Saul to Paul kind of conversions. We should be praying for people who we look at and go, they will never become a Christian, and actually just praying to the Lord. We can't change people like that. Our best arguments, they will brush away. But when they meet with Jesus, everything changes. And so we should be praying for the Lord to reveal himself in those kind of ways to the people that we know who are in that situation. But that's a dangerous prayer to pray. Think what it did to the Apostle Paul. He had to go away for 3 years to get his head straight. Be careful what you pray for. Because if we are praying for people who are far from the Lord and they encounter him, they will need your help as they seek to make sense of what they experience when they meet with Jesus. So be prepared for people coming out of that kind of wilderness experience to need a lot of help as they seek to get their heads straight in the knowledge that Jesus is alive. Well, what do I do with that knowledge? And we need to help people. Now, obviously, we do lots of that as a church. We do Alpha courses and Bible studies to help us to take our faith deeper, to see how it all fits together in modern life. But actually, there are many people out there who are having these kind of experiences. They don't know me. They don't know Andy. They don't know the church. But they know you. And you are the one who is there to help them with that kind of experience. Yes, it might involve introducing them to the church so they can get connected and be involved in some of the study things that we do. But actually, you're the first point of contact for most people who don't yet know Jesus. And so it's with those things in mind, we're never writing anyone off. We're recognizing that the desert changes people, but we're also recognizing that that's an incredibly hard thing for them to go through. And therefore, we're committing ourselves to be there for them when they go through that experience, to be there for each other, because Christians go through this kind of experience as well. And so with these things in mind, let me pray for us. Lord, however hard it was, thank you for the desert experience that made Saul the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the church that you built using him as your instrument to reach the Gentile world. And Lord, as we look at our world now, we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to write people off who are far from you, but to pray for them. To pray, Lord, that you would meet them. Yes, maybe send them into the desert for that hard experience of rebuilding their thought life. But Lord, that you would help us to be there for them, to help them, to come to that understanding of faith in you, new life, new hope, a new future because of who we are in you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.